Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz. With plans starting at $69 a month, members have access to a rotating closet of 75,000 items by hundreds of top designers' personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days, and when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. We all know the feeling. You open your closet, it's full, but you have quite literally nothing to wear. Armoire will help us all who has ever felt that way. Armoire allows you to rent high-quality designer clothing for every occasion. Whether you're planning your outfit for a date night, packing for a conference, or in need of a gown for a black tie event, you will be the best dressed person in the room. I have loved using Armoire for a few spring events I've attended. I wore this beautiful Diane von Furstenberg dress recently that I loved. And right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/livingfully. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/livingfully to get 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. As women, we all know what it's like to be on a hormonal roller coaster. I certainly know personally what it's like, the cravings, the ups and downs, all the things that come along with it. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier by creating supplements with science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Adaptogens can help the body adapt to any stressor, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. And this isn't just for women going through menopause. Women with any symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopausal symptoms that can put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes, night sweats, low moods, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. Lastly, it's not just a supplement. It's a phenomenon. It has a huge rave on social media, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code LIVINGFULLY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code LIVINGFULLY for 15% off today. Hey y'all, this is Mallory Irvin, and it's time for all of us to live fully. It's so important in this crazy world of ours that we stay connected, inspired, and motivated to be and do our best. And that's not always easy. I'm here with my guests and friends to share the stories and lessons we've learned to help you live your best life every day and truly begin living fully. Let's make it happen and get started with today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Living Fully podcast. I'm thrilled to bring you Annie Downs today. I'm going to do a brief intro on Annie before we jump into one of my favorite and probably the most fun podcast episode I've ever done. So Annie F. Downs is a best-selling author, sought-after speaker, and successful podcast host based here in Nashville, Tennessee, which is why she is in my home today. Engaging and honest, she makes readers and listeners alike feel as if they've been friends for a long time, and I can attest to that. Founder of the That Sounds Fun Network, which includes her aptly named flagship show, That Sounds Fun, and author of multiple best-selling books like 100 Days to Brave and Remember God, Annie shoots straight and doesn't shy away from the tough topics. Annie is a huge fan of laughing with friends, like we'll do a lot of today, confetti, soccer, and boiled peanuts, preferably from the Backroads, Georgia gas stations. I love that and so many things that we talk about today. And also, I just have to add this because this has just happened. Annie is now a New York Times bestseller as of a week ago. So I'm so thrilled to bring you guys Annie F. Downs. So without further ado, here is Annie Downs.
Hi.
I'm so excited to have you here, Annie.
Mallory, I'm thrilled to be here. Your whole podcast is like friends of friends of friends. You're just having all of us.
It's so funny because I just told Annie, I said, Annie,
I don't know of anyone, like, looking in from the outside that has as many friends as you. And, you know, I've heard you say before, like, you have your friends or people that you want to be your friends on mm-hmm. your podcast, but you've been running this podcast for years.
That's
and years.
Right. It's 400 plus episodes. So that's a lot of people that I've said that about.
But you, I mean, you really and truly have a lot of friends. And what I just told you is I can see why.
Oh, you're
like,
crying.
Immediately I can see why yeah. she has 10 million friends. You were talking about in the beginning of your book how you made this intentional pause, like
oh my gosh. the fall
before COVID. So yes. you obviously didn't know that COVID was happening.
I got to the end of 2020 and I'm not married yet. I don't have kids yet. So I live alone. I got to the end of 2020 after the pandemic, after I'd finished writing That Sounds Fun. And really, when we wrote the book, I didn't finish it till the fall with the edits. And so I got to lay a filter of the pandemic over the book and be like, is it still true that we can have fun?
Yeah.
And it made me throw out a chapter. It made me write a new chapter.
Really?
And the other thing that came into my mind was I learned in 2020 that I can't control very much. I thought I could. I think we all thought we could. And I learned in 2020, I can't control much. And I was like, what can I control? My teeth. So let's go straighten our teeth up. That is literally, it is this one in a battlefield where so many things have fallen. It is this one soldier that still stands for me and says, like, you still can control some things. And it's been nice to make that list and go, I can get laser hair removal. I can get my teeth straightened.
Yes.
I can glow up real hard this uh-huh. year because that I can't control. Mm-hmm. And I've learned there's a lot I can't. Mm-hmm.
It did a really cool thing to your book too, which I read cover to cover. And it's wonderful too, because this whole kind of thread, the whole book is about how Annie's like a professional at fun. Well, she says she's not a professional. She says she's...
Right.
But I think you've racked up enough hours.
Yeah,
like
that's
you
right.
Say. Like
I'm an
you
expert. Are a profession- I don't have to be a pro. I can be an expert.
You're an yeah. expert. That's it. The whole book is about having fun and how much of a role this has in your life, how to find it, how yeah. to cultivate it, how to experience it, and all of these cool things. But something else that stood out in the book, and I wonder if this is because of that COVID filter, was how... joy and pain
yeah,
or like fun and pain can exist together.
Yes.
Or joy and grief. And you had these gorgeous stories in the book. And you and I think are very similar in a lot yeah. of ways. I can already tell, like just knowing you a
same.
Little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty like black or white and I want to get through grief and I want to get yes. through pain pretty fast.
Yes.
Cause I'm a joy person. I'm a fun person just
yep.
like you.
Yeah.
But man, have I learned that it is really vital to walk through those things and that you can experience both together. And I think so many times we miss out on so much because we're just holding our breath until it passes.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I love the story in the book about Disneyland and how you're like, oh, you were having this joyful time, but
yep.
your relationship with, what was it? It was your assistant.
My assistant, Eliza.
Was coming
we traveled
to a close.
Together for 4 years, maybe. And that was our last trip. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, let's go live it up at Disney World. And we didn't even get there till 4 o'clock because it was a day of a speaking event uh-huh. in California. Uh-huh. And so we didn't get there till 4. Our bodies were on East Coast Central time zone. We're out there on West Coast time zone. And I mean, I felt loopy by midnight. I mean, but we stayed till the park closed till it, and it was December. So mm-hmm. in December, they fake snow on everybody mm-hmm. and they make it smell like gingerbread.
Oh.
It's unbelievable. It's like so Disney of them. But that is literally the story I was thinking of when you were saying that, because I learned such a great deal in that experience of like, what if we chose something fun when we were hurting? Mm. Eliza and I had this option to like, do we go to a really nice dinner mm-hmm. and like reflect on the last couple of years and like cry our way mm-hmm. through a Chardonnay and and just like sit there together and like feel it. And that is really appropriate mm-hmm. and totally. I mean, I'm going to City House tonight mm-hmm. with a friend.
Oh, my favorite.
Absolute favorite.
Mm-hmm. About, we're the same.
Of course
we're
it is. of course it is. We have to go there because you and I also have some work things to solve.
Yes.
We're
yes,
going to help
we
each
do.
Other. And even tonight, I'm going to City House and we're going to sit and be reflective. But that day, Eliza and I were like, it's honestly, I'm so not interested in how deep this pain could go. Mm. I need to go have fun. Mm. Like, I am so sad that we aren't going to be coworkers anymore that I just have to go mm-hmm. and have fun. And so I don't think it's escapism either. That's the problem, Mallory, is when
yes.
people want to define fun, mm-hmm. they often go toward escapism instead of actual fun.
That is so true. What's the line that you wrote in your book? I wrote it down. you talk about like all these planes that you've boarded and you say like, oftentimes we leave the feelings bag behind.
Yes.
Is that how you said that line?
Yes. Yeah.
And board a plane anywhere.
Yes.
And it is, it's escapism, but you're talking about in that really cool story, just like in the book, it's all these cool stories and these lessons that come out of them, how you just, you celebrated this relationship that you had. You wanted to cry, but you were having fun at the same time. And
yeah,
I actually wrote a chapter in my book about my grandparents who are still living, but sometimes like when people are getting older and you're fearing the end of something, you can't experience something like in its entirety.
That's right. Because you're so like, is this going to be the last?
Yes.
Is this going to be the last?
And it ruins it.
What if you just lived it? Right. Were they okay during COVID?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
They were fine. They're doing great now. And it's like all of us weren't okay during COVID, but they made it through just fine.
That's right.
But then there was that other beautiful story too. The way that you grew up on Ebenezer Road, it reminds me, and you're the oldest of all your cousins.
Yes.
I'm the oldest of 23 first cousins that all grew up on the same farm.
23.
Very similar. I know you don't have as many, but like in the country, snapping the peas. It was so much of your book felt like home to me.
Oh, thanks.
And you're talking about that really cool story about where it was the last time in the house that your parents sold.
Yes.
And you bought the fireworks.
Yes.
And you made this fun thing because you're like the family fun person.
Yeah. I just decided if I know we're going to have feelings. Mm-hmm. I know this isn't going to be easy. I am going to bring an element of fun as well. Not to take away from the sadness, but to celebrate the good. Right. So I'm not saying you have to shoot off fireworks at every funeral you go to.
Yeah.
But one of the things we do at funerals is you walk up and say, I'm so sorry you lost your grandfather. He was so kind to me at my last soccer game in high school. Or man, your family member who we're celebrating today, I remember when I worked at that restaurant, they came and always tipped me better than I deserved. Mm-hmm. And so we do honor people. It's a version of bringing a firework to that, of going like, I'm not just going to feel the sadness. I'm going to bring joy. But that also means that escapism looks like, well, let's just run all for the good and not ignore the bad, pretend like it isn't there. In my head, the way I can delineate between fun and escapism is if I say, if only I could fill in the blank, that's usually me trying to escape. Mm-hmm. If only I could eat as many Oreos as I want. Mm-hmm. If only I could fly to this city.
Yeah.
If only I could do, if only. Mm-hmm. That usually means there's something in me that's leaning toward, I want to get out of this thing I'm feeling.
That's a great tip too, because that I'm thinking of all the things that I would say, like, if only I could just like take a nap right now, or if only I could, the things that I say, it's escapism.
Yeah. And then the fun language is, I can't wait to.
Yes.
I can't wait to take a nap this afternoon or on Saturday. Tomorrow it's going to rain all weekend. How annoying. It's going to rain all weekend. But it's going to rain all weekend. I can't wait to take a nap instead of like, if only I could take a nap. Mm-hmm. You just, and it's not even like a, it's not something you have to be real public about when those sentences happen in your head, but you can just pay attention. There's just little filters for yourself of going, oh, I said five if onlys today. Mm-hmm. I may need to talk to my family or my partner or my friend or my counselor. Something's going on that I want to say a lot of if onlys.
A lot of people say, well, that must be fun to be able to do that.
Like, oh,
well,
yeah.
You can do that.
That's
right. You can, you know, so many people think, well, I don't have time for fun. Mm-hmm. I don't, fun seems silly.
Yep.
Like, is fun really going to move the needle in my life? I think fun obviously moves the needle in my life, but there are some people that are looking at fun like a skeptic.
Yeah. The reality is we all make space in our lives for what makes us most healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's working out or how you eat or sleep, or the money you make at your job, where you go like, in order to have the life I want, these are the things I have to do. And so people say to me, I don't have time for fun. And I go, well, you have time for everything else that makes you healthy. I think you're underestimating how much a hobby, how much something in community with people that you love laughing with actually makes you who you want to be. My friend, John Mark Comer, who's a pastor and an author out of Portland, he always says, who you want to be at 80, you don't decide at 80, you're deciding right now.
So true.
I think making space for these fun things, like, I mean, it can be as simple as trying a new cookbook in your house where your family's y'all are ranking your favorite chocolate chip cookie recipes. Or it can be going to Dollywood, which is a favorite of ours. Or it could be flying away. That's all fine. Going to Disneyland is fine. If you're doing that because you don't want to feel what you're feeling, that's a problem. And if you don't make space for a little bit of fun in your everyday life and the week you already have, you're gonna burn out, I think.
You talk about this in the book. I think that busyness is one of those huge things that stands in the way of fun. It stands in the way of everything. I think it stands in the way of people finding joy and fulfillment and being good parents and everything. It's something that I struggle with over and over is this busyness. Like you just want to, especially if you're like you and I and you want to write a book and you want to do a podcast and you want to speak and you want to have 50 friends.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You want to do all these things. It's really hard not to get wrapped up in it and to prioritize something like fun.
And it's also true when we talk about rest of going like, okay, well, I'm going to take tomorrow off. Now, I am going to do all the laundry because it'll make me feel rested when it's done.
Isn't that the truth,
Annie? And it's just not true.
Isn't that the truth?
You need to let the laundry lie one more day or you need to do laundry today and rest tomorrow. You cannot call your resting day your chore day. We have to delineate those.
Women, like whether you're a mom or you're a working woman or something, they do that really badly. And they think, and they call a hair appointment without a child, like rest and restore, or they call like taking a shower rest.
Right, right.
That's not rest, that's hygiene.
That's right. That's just being around other people. Uh-huh. That's just a gift to us. Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's fun so can be the same way where we say, well, that of course that's fun to me, so I'll do that. But if you're still on your phone and if you're still achieving and you're still moving something forward, I mean, I even have to be careful with my exercise. When I'm choosing to have fun, when I go on walks with friends, I need to not like worry about how many steps we get. And when I like, especially on my day off, I use the word Sabbath. Yeah.
Wednesday's your Sabbath, right?
When I travel on the weekends, yes. But like this week it's Saturday because I didn't travel this coming weekend. But on those days, I have to choose exercise that doesn't, that isn't trying to accomplish things. It's just moving my body because I like to.
That's hard. That's really hard for me.
Mm-hmm. It's super hard. It is a discipline that I go, what if I'm just moving my body because I want to move my body? And what if I'm just creating these cookies, not because I want someone to love me more and feel like, oh, isn't Annie so good to her people? But if it's because I wanted to make something and then share, right? Like it's not about the, it's very rarely about the action. It's far more about the motive.
I like how you blend fun with like therapy.
In a way. All the time. We have to, because I think what happened is if you ask a 9-year-old, what they do for fun, they can talk for an hour. And when adults say to me, I don't know what I do for fun. And I'm like, well, your 9-year-old self didn't have a problem. So what did your 9-year-old self do for fun? And then when we get that list going, like when I'm like jokingly fun coaching people, when we get that list going of what they did for fun when they were nine, almost always, if I can ask why, if I go, okay, well, why did you do that outside or why did you play that game? It always, almost always, Mallory, goes back to, well, when I was a kid or being outside.
Yeah.
Those are the two things. And so you go, okay, well, we can't go back to being a kid, but there is something your actual body and spirit and soul are longing for.
Yeah.
And we can get pieces of that.
Yeah.
So it's like you said, the story in my book about snapping green beans with my grandmother. I can't do that. She passed away 15 years ago. I don't live in that same house. I live here. My family's still in Atlanta. I can make green beans.
Yeah.
And I can think about my grandmother when I do it. I can use the salt and pepper shaker from her house.
Yeah.
And
so true.
It's not the same, but it stirs something in me that goes, man, this is fun. What a good memory.
Yeah. I love it how you say in the book, you say it's like fun is, it's returning to, I like how you call it Eden, but like it's returning to yourself. And what's funny is when you talk about the 9-year-old self, and I think you say this, it's like the 9-year-old self doesn't have the mortgage and the spouse and all of these things get in the way of fun, which it, when Annie says fun, I think joy.
Yeah.
Joy and fun are so interchangeable to me. Yeah. And I'm always seeking with my, everything that I share on the podcast is living fully, which is a life full of joy and full of fun and full of ups and downs, of course, but like those ups just feel different. They're just, it's joyful, but all the things that tend to get in our way that the 9-year-old didn't have, they'll just steal that joy right out from under you. If yes. you can live a if whole life. Like,
right. Yeah. That's right. That's exactly right.
And you know, another thing too, that I like you talking about, and I had one of my friends draw Annie a dolly. I said, I couldn't find a congratulations on your New York Times bestseller card at Paper Source. So I know you like dolly and I like,
I'm going to show this one. Today. The day the show comes out, I'm going to post it so people can sweet. See. Well, it is so gorgeous.
We both love Dolly Parton. I love Dolly Parton because of her authenticity, but isn't she just the embodiment of fun? The yes. way that she wears her hair, the clothes she wears, the way that she speaks.
Do you know why we love her? Is she is fully Dolly.
Yeah.
And she does not apologize for it. And she does not work around it. As best mm-hmm. we know, she's fully Dolly. Our experience. Now, I don't know her in real life. Do you know her in real life?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know yeah, her in real life. I wish.
Dolly, we want to.
She's pretty like hard to access.
I think
except
so.
For through the D at Dollywood.
That's right. I saw her through the D at Dollywood.
The sequence.
That's exactly right. But our experience of her feels really genuine mm-hmm. and it feels like it's really her. And that, I mean, that's why I love this podcast and what you're doing, because the idea of being fully you, it's why we have a section of the book that says the power of falling in love. Because mm-hmm. what if you just let yourself fall in love with the hobbies that you love, mm-hmm. with the things that you love, the places you love, instead of going like, well, I don't know if anybody else is going to like this, so I won't do this. Or yeah. I don't know what people are going to say, so I won't pick up this hobby. And what if we just live fully us? Mm. Like, there's just so, it feels really vulnerable, mm-hmm. especially if you're the first one in your yeah. circle that's going like, hey, this is like me. I'm doing yeah. the best I can with what I have, but this is me. Mm-hmm. And it has changed my life so drastically to go like, hey, I've given Annie permission to be Annie, mm-hmm. but also that means I give Mallory permission to be mm-hmm. Mallory. And so it just makes, it may be why people feel like we're friends all the time mm-hmm. is because
it
I've
is
given me permission to be mm-hmm. me. And what someone else feels is, well, Annie's going to let me be me too.
Yeah.
But that took counseling.
Yeah.
On site, going to on site. It took lots of work with God, myself and people that love me
yeah.
to be like, oh, we can just do this? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. And that's what we love about Dolly too.
And I love too, like in that chapter where you talk about that in particular, where yeah. you talk about like you love big. Nobody has any question if you love something because you just yes. go big. You just go big and go
it
there.
It doesn't go great in dating. And you, but everywhere still, else, it's great.
Are they still doing games? Are they still playing games?
Yeah, yeah. And it just is... I am just always Annie.
Yeah.
And so I think I spent a lot of my 20s, particularly trying to tone down and become the kind of quote Christian woman that mm-hmm. I thought all the Christian guys wanted. And what I've seen in my 30s and now that I'm 40 is like, oh man, no, men just want you to be you. They just mm-hmm. want you to be confident in who and your body that you have and the life that you have and not try to shape shift into this thing.
Yeah.
And so me being Annie, if I like you, I'm going to like you a lot
because uh-huh.
that's how I feel about my friends.
Yeah.
And if our first, very true to you and me, if our first sit down is awesome, I'm going to want 15 more.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about men I'm dating too. And yeah. so it just takes some like, and my life is so public. Your life is so public at this point that we both are like, nothing's going to surprise that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to know, here's
just
all
Google
my
it.
Internet. Yeah. 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 So
just Google it. That probably makes dating.
But yeah,
very
do you
hard.
Live? I mean, I feel like you love like that too, based on what I experience of you.
Absolutely. And I went through my own journey too, like you did with coming back to myself. Everybody has their own journey to joy yeah. and to yeah. fun and to just this different way of life.
How did you let that go?
Oh, a lot of therapy.
Yeah.
Like a really amazing set of events like 8 years ago uh-huh. that I talk all about in the book in
oh, good.
Detail,
I was hoping
but
it was
very
in the book.
Professional.
Okay.
What, professional help was the only way for me
yes.
to get out of it at that yeah. point in time.
And that fascinating because people like will pay to go to a gym and you'll pay for a trainer because you want your body to be
Isn't
healthy
that the
and
truth?
You'll tithe at church because you really believe in your spiritual growth or you'll buy books that are spiritually focused mm-hmm. or you will download apps that cost a little bit of money that
That's
help you
so
be
true,
spiritually
Annie.
Minded, but we don't want to pay for counseling because how embarrassing that someone
how
has to help us with our emotional health.
Yeah.
I'm
but
like, no.
What's awesome is nowadays, I feel like people, especially in our generation, are very open
so
to it.
So much more open.
Which
yep.
is awesome
yep.
because they always should have been. And you're from kind of like a small town. Like yep. I'm from a small town where people are like, what?
I didn't know anybody in counseling growing up, except when I wouldn't quit sucking my thumb in elementary school. My parents made me go for a little bit. I was like, I'm trying to take care of myself. Listen, if we knew the Enneagram when I was a kid, they'd have been like, you're safe. You're fine. You don't have to take care of yourself. And I was like, thumb in mouth. I have to care for myself.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. But it's like all these roundabout ways that we arrive here. It's really so important. And it's not something that we should just throw out and be like, oh, I just don't have time for it. Because this is the way to live.
Yes.
To sit across the table with someone like you that just exudes joy. I like what you just said. So many people think to do the fun thing, you got to save up. You got to have this 2 weeks of vacation.
And that's true.
Those
are fun.
Sometimes, Annie, like you get there and it's like your brain is still there with you.
Yep.
So if your brain can't.
Yes.
It can't get it. The fun can't get into you if you block it. That's if you're right. A fun blocker. And I feel
fun
like.
Fun blocker. I need to make a list of those. Yeah.
You talk about this cool story about Dollywood and how you had this big old idea. You were going to be in this Hallmark movie. Mm-hmm. It was going to just be the culmination of this amazing thing. And it just didn't go as planned. And so many people, I think, they think this is the thing that's going to bring me fun. And then when they get there and it's not the fun, then they get really mad that they spent the money. They took the 2 weeks vacation, like that the kids are acting up or whatever
that's right.
But then you talked about how, you know, you just kind of rolling with it. And then the end of that story, how it turned around and you were like, what did you say? Something like how God dreamed up something that you couldn't even dream
of
in your
that's
idea.
Right. That's the problem. Because if we don't, and I was in a season of this, which is why I could write about it. If fun isn't part of our like every day or every week, we put huge expectations on our 2 weeks of fun.
Ooh, I like what you just said. So when it's not a part of your every day or your every week, you put huge expectations on your 2 weeks.
It's the same if you love eating fish, but you only eat it when you're out and you don't ever learn to make it in your own house.
It's gotta be real good.
It better be the best fish I ever put in my mouth. And so the other option is, could you learn to cook fish?
Uh-huh.
And could you make it part of your everyday life? Now there are some things that are special, like a really nice bottle of wine or a certain restaurant, of course, City House, right? Mm-hmm. The Bellingham pizza.
Mm-hmm. Oh, girl. When you break that egg.
I need you to know that we made this plan the day I hit New York Times, my friend and I. And I've thought about that Bellingham pizza just about daily.
Oh,
it's
man.
So
do you do
good.
The egg on it?
Yes.
There is
100%.
Something about it that takes my breath away.
Dear City House, please sponsor this podcast and Mallory and my life.
Amen.
Like absolute life.
Amen.
But that's what we do
that.
To Dollywood or to Disney World or to Paris is we go, this better be the best vacation I've ever been on because I haven't had any fun for the year leading up to this. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'd done to Dollywood is I'd set up like, I'm going to be an extra in a Hallmark movie. And then it didn't work out. I'm not in the movie at all. And everyone knew we were in it. And my friends and I who went over, they got to be extras. We didn't know until the movie was over that we weren't in it. So we had like, we're live Instagramming and being like, any minute now, we're going to be in this. Never showed up. And so what I had to learn out of that is like, okay, I mean, it's conversations with yourself. I say this a lot, but it's being a good friend to yourself and saying, hey, Annie, why did you put so much on that? What do you, do you want to be famous? Is that the goal here? Mm-hmm. Or are you trying to be in movies? Because if that's it, let's have a whole different conversation. Okay, do you want to be in movies? No. Well, what was it? It's that I was tired and I wanted something separate from my life that was fun. And I was tired of waiting. And we spent the whole day waiting.
Oh, what
and
a
so
realization.
Then I went, wow, okay. And so I went to my counselor. I said it to my best friends who were with me. I went to my counselor. And I was like, hey, I'm making oversized expectations on experiences because I'm tired of waiting. Mm. And it's not about Dollywood. It's about these other 4 years of my life. And that is what fun can do for us, Mallory. If you ask enough questions around your fun before, during, and after, it's actually going to tell you what's going on in your heart.
Mm. Returning back to yourself.
Yeah.
So it's not this extra thing that you have to put on your to-do list.
Right.
That's just, I need to check this off to find my way to joy or to find my way to like the life that everybody else is living, whatever. It's back to yourself. And it's about like what's going on the inside. Like the fact that you can have fun on the journey to figuring yourself out in our minds. I mean, that's just, it's the coolest take. And and all of your podcast and your speaking, you know, I've listened to all of it. And it's just the coolest take.
Thanks.
It's not like you were somebody that had this awesome podcast and you're like, oh yeah, okay, I'll write a book about fun. It's everything to you. And It's like tried and true.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've practiced this for a long time. Uh-huh. Someone the other day said, why wasn't this your first book? Why? And I was like,
because
I
hadn't
practiced enough.
Oh, I love that too. Because so many people, don't you feel like new authors? Because you've written how many books?
Eight. Yeah.
Eight.
And then a couple
eight
of Bible
books,
studies. So you're right.
Gentlemen.
The 10-ish is around right.
Okay. But. So, I got to ask this question because parts of it were for me, but parts of it weren't. Is writing a book fun to you?
It is so hard.
It's hard.
Like day one is so fun. You get your coffee and your candle and you like, you've got your book deal. So you're just like, this is my job now. Yeah. The publisher has made this my job. I can't wait. And you like write 2,000 words and then you go and like make spaghetti and like, I get to do this again tomorrow. And then day two, you're like, I have nothing to say. I mean, I often have to talk about it's eating an elephant. It's that old analogy of eating an elephant of like, you just have to keep going.
Uh-huh.
And it's why, I don't know if you've read, the book is called Bird by Bird, Anne Lamott.
I've heard so many people talk about her.
It's a great writing book. You would love it. Because what she says is like her brother had to do a project about all the birds in America or something. I'm not remembering exactly right. But in it, he procrastinates and he's like, I'm never going to get this finished. She said, you just do it bird by bird by bird. And that is how you have to write. So there are fun days, of course, but the fun is now for me. The fun is day one. The fun is the day I turn it in because I go and see a movie by myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to this year, obviously, because I turned it in during COVID, but I usually go and see a movie by myself and I'm like, nobody cares where I am. And I'm going to remind you of this and when your book comes out. The real fun is celebrating the night before the book releases, because what you're actually celebrating is your obedience, your hard work, your commitment, that the project is done. You really, that night, the next morning when that book goes live on Amazon, it is not yours anymore. It's ours. And it stops. Up until then, it's been yours. And then you celebrate. And I don't know how to explain it. You'll feel it and you'll tell me that you felt it. But this thing happens the night the book becomes live or the day the book becomes live where you go, okay, I'm kind of done. Now it's yours.
How cool.
My journey is done. So I will remind you, but the night before, you need to party.
I need to be reminded of that because right now I'm on like the third round of edits, you know, and like about to turn in. And you just get to the end and you're like, everything I ever said is wrong.
And you're like, I'm so tired of editing this. I don't care. I don't care about the last 50 pages. Know. And you have to be like, I have to care. I get one shot at this.
Yes.
And then it exists forever.
It's so true. And it's like everything in the book is everything that I believe and everything that I know to be true. And it's tried and true to me. But it's
wait to read it. I'm so excited.
Thank you. You talk about eating an elephant. I keep saying beating a dead horse, which is most countries. Who beats a dead horse? Nobody. That's terrible.
That's right.
Like, who eats an elephant? But that's like, right. Who writes a
book?
But
the fun, is when you see people live different on the other side. The fun is when you turn it over to us and it's not just yours anymore. I'm telling you, that day feels so fun because you go, here it is, everybody. Have it. I've spent years on this and now it's ours. It's not just mine. It's ours.
Yeah.
And what's already probably happening in your brain is, what do we write next? Mm-hmm. What do we do next? And the people are just starting with your book. And so they're not ready for you to process that journey with us.
Yeah.
They're not, because we're like, no, this is brand new. What are you talking about? But in your heart, you're like, okay, I did it. I'm actually done. And I gave you the cookies and now it's time for me to bake again.
Yeah.
And that's fun.
I love that.
Right. So my personality is not, I say joke all the time, like the idea that God gave me a job where I sit by myself in the quiet is hilarious because I hate it. I don't hate it, but I mean, I don't want to do that.
No, it's
for hours.
Hard. It's very against the grain.
People are like, how do you write a first draft so quick? I'm like, I just want it to be done. I want it to be done and I want people involved again. I'm tired of it just being me. So I will write for 12 hours if it means I can do it a week shorter. That's what I'm doing with Invisalign. If I wear it every hour, if I don't eat, oh, you know what? Tell me if this is true. I can't snack at all.
Oh, you don't?
It's going to be the healthiest I've ever been because
that's awesome.
When Invisalign's in, right? You didn't eat while you were,
no,
right?
No. Okay. So I would drink liquids.
Yeah. I could drink water.
I got
really
good at like to where it didn't touch the back of the retainers. Like when I was something.
Okay. So like a Coke from McDonald's, if I put the straw just right, I could do it with Invisalign.
You could, for sure.
You
now,
don't need to tell me this.
Dr. Foltz is listening to this. Would you probably
Dr. Foltz, we love you and we ate nothing and drank nothing.
Crazy.
I mean, after week one, I was like, well, there goes snacking.
Yeah.
I will now be.
Oh, you're going to be
I'm
really
gonna
healthy.
I'm
going to
glow up in every way.
No, I straight would teeth. Take the Invisalign out. I would eat the pretzels and have it in my teeth and just be like, God, you know, digging it out with my tongue and then putting them back in.
I need you to know this is the grossest story. I tried to put mine in the container, as they told me. I'm only on week 3, so I should for sure still be obeying. And I didn't have my retainer. I put a container. I put them in my back pocket to drink something or eat something real quick.
Oh,
and
no.
I put them back in my mouth. And I go to work and I'm like, something feels weird back here. And I take the top one out and there's a piece of lint stuck in my Invisalign. I was like, you're the grossest human ever,
Man.
Of all the evers.
Isn't it? But what's great about it, it's not like a retainer where if you lose it, it's game over. And speaking of Disneyland
back,
and retainers and full circle, we once had to, as a family, dig through a trash can at Disneyland because my retainer... was on the tray and we threw it away at the Animal Kingdom. Yes.
You're like, I can tell you which trash can. If we went today.
I can vividly remember.
How old were you?
Like a freshman in high school, digging through the trash. But like, at least Invisalign cycles through. And
yes.
It's like, but you know what's funny? For some reason, I hung on to all my Invisalign trays. Like, my teeth would go back the exact same. And like, if I wanted to save money one day.
Yeah.
Like, but I found out that like, you have a 5-year open window where like, you can go back and do them again for free.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Invisalign's probably like, no.
But this podcast is brought to you by City House and Invisalign.
And Disney World.
And Disney World, yeah.
And Dolly Parton.
I'll take all those sponsors, Mallory. I'll handle all that.
Well, this was just, I'm not saying this to be cliche, but the most fun conversation I've probably had in 50-something episodes. So
thank you
so much, Annie, for not only coming on the podcast, but just for being a light in the world.
Thank you,
friend. Just awesome. And congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
Well deserved.
Very, very kind of you.
So I will write in the show notes everywhere where you can find Annie Downs, which she says is embarrassingly
easy,
isn't it all for us in this space? You can find us embarrassingly easy.
Yes.
So I will put that along with her new book, That Sounds Fun, that everybody else in America and the world is reading too.
Thank you.
So thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. And thank you so much, Annie, for coming
on. Thanks, Mallory. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us on Living Fully with Mallory Irvin. And remember to subscribe so you don't miss a single minute of encouragement and inspiration to live your best life. Want more? Join us on MalloryIrvin.com so we can connect with you on Instagram and YouTube. Start living your life now. You've only got one. We'll see you next time.